Well, greetings everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. What did President Obama's speech to the joint session of Congress on healthcare accomplish? He gave that speech, of course, on September 9, and according to the CNN, this actually was the date, 999, which can be looked upon as the upside-down version of 666. But even before President Obama gave the speech, it was reported, and we talked about it in our most recent program, that the IRS would be the agency which would be in charge of implementing any rules of a new healthcare proposal and legislation, and they would be the one who would actually penalize those who are not in compliance. Now, it was interesting to me to see that President Obama didn't even touch upon this very controversial issue of the IRS being involved like that. Also, one day before the speech, on September 8, of course, the Associated Press reported the following, and I quote, "Americans would be fined up to $3,800 for failing to buy health insurance under a plan that circulated in Congress on Tuesday, just as auto coverage or car coverage is now mandatory in most states. Senator Max Baucus, who is actually the chief of the Finance Committee, would require that all Americans get health insurance once the system is overhauled. Now, this plan also provided for the fact that insurance companies cannot exclude you any longer if you have a pre-existing condition, which is good, but notice, however, what else the plan was proposing. 60-year-olds could be charged five times as much for a policy as 20-year-olds, something which 60-year-olds could hardly afford. Now, did President Obama incorporate some of those ideas in his speech? That was very interesting for me to see whether he did or not, and sure enough, he did do it. The Associated Press reported on September 9, "The change was subtle, but significant. It went by in a blink." In other words, most people didn't even notice it. It goes on to say that in his speech, Obama endorsed mandatory coverage for individuals, an approach he did not embrace as a candidate. He rejected the idea at the time when we had the presidential campaigns. He rejected the idea of requiring individuals to obtain insurance. He said people would get insurance without being forced to do so by the law if coverage were made affordable. And he repeatedly criticized his Democratic primary rival, Hillary Clinton, for proposing to mandate coverage. Now, he says, individuals will be required to carry basic health insurance, just as most states require you to carry auto insurance. And on top of that, if they don't and if they can't afford it, then they will be penalized, heavily penalized. Because he says, well, you know, the state, the society will have to pay for them anyway, whether they have insurance or not when they get sick. Well, that, my friends, is circular reasoning. Because if somebody can afford health insurance and doesn't have it, then he can afford paying a doctor when he gets sick, at least up to the amount of the premiums of health insurance. So we got to pay one way or the other. But what about the yelling of one particular individual in Congress when he, during the speech, yelled to President Obama, "You are lying," or "You lie"? Now, we are talking about, of course, Republican Joe Wilson, or Representative Joe Wilson, for blurting out "You lie" during President Obama's national televised address, as Newsmax reported on September 10. And, of course, later on, he apologized for having done that. But the question is, was he correct substantively? This article goes on to say the nation's attention is turning to the actual issue Wilson raised, an accusation that billions of taxpayer dollars will go to pay for health insurance coverage for undocumented workers. The article says that supporters of Mr. Obama immediately said that Wilson was wrong and there is nothing in the law which would require health care to be given to undocumented workers. And that is true as far as it goes. But you see, that doesn't end the story. Newsmax continued, "Obama is correct, Stephen Camarota, Director of Research for the Center for Immigration Studies, tells the paper. Quote, the legislation states illegals won't get the affordability credits to pay for the health care, but Wilson's comment is correct in that the normal enforcement mechanism was excluded from the bill. I think that is the fundamental question, close quote. Camerata's organization has estimated that due to the lack of enforcement provisions which had been proposed, which were rejected, healthcare reform would benefit 6.6 million illegals at a cost of some $31 billion. Many states give illegals driver's licenses, which will be sufficient to get free healthcare under the plan. Critics also contend that millions of illegals already have counterfeit Social Security cards or other fraudulent documents. There also is no enforcement mechanism in the legislation to prevent illegals who use fake IDs from also obtaining taxpayer-subsidized health insurance. And now notice what else the article points out. One of the ironies of the proposed legislation is that it would fine American citizens who opt not to purchase insurance coverage, but would exempt illegals from such fines. This is presumably due to the fact that they are not supposed to participate in the program anyway. But this is really an irony. Now, I talked to some of my friends in Germany, in Canada, and Britain, and for instance, in Germany, there is no mandatory requirement for Germans to have health care insurance. And if they choose not to, they're not fined, not penalized for not having it. In fact, this penalization concept is something which is pretty much alien to most other countries in the world. Well, when we look at all these proposals, and of course there is discussion regarding the public option, and some say we should have it and some say we shouldn't have it, and left-wing Democrats say they're not going to adopt a bill which doesn't have it, and Republicans say they're not going to do it if they do have a public option. And so we see in all of this discussion and all of this contention, there doesn't seem too much human wisdom, let alone godly, biblical wisdom around as to how to solve this problem which needs to be solved. And so it's no wonder that most Americans feel that the entire Congress should resign, that all the members of Congress should walk away due to their lack of competency as to how to solve our very pressing problems. Well, my friend, I have good news for you. In a few years from now, that wish, that dream will have become true. Thank you very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.